Now we're back with the advanced decline T chart, which has been updated from last week. And if you, we haven't seen an awful lot, but I have added a small red arrow at the right side of the picture, showing my expectation that the rally that we've had in the recovery is not sufficient. And there's another down leg, which is the red arrow pointing down to some unknown low point. If you look at the, this is a conservative T construction, because we picked the first bottom to be on the safe side, but that I believe is going to be the high for this bull market, setting aside the question of a recovery after you get down to an oversold condition. And that, so a couple of years from now, when you're looking back to try and draw T's, that peak, which was occurred just before May, is going to be where they're going to put the letter A for the next cash build-up phase. The question comes up, how do you find out whether this two waves down is sufficient to get a turnaround or not? Well, if you look back at the previous A, you can see that it went down modestly, and then it finally got below the green cash build-up line by a fairly significant amount. And we haven't really gotten to that point yet. The way you analyze this is you do it with the advanced decline oscillator, which is basically the slope of the advanced decline line. And what you're looking for is this, to separate this, the bouncing ball, which I talked about last week, is what you're watching now is you're watching a ball bounce from the April, remember there was that day they had the 1,000-point thingamajig that was sort of fictitious because that they couldn't figure out what the trades were all wrong, and you just had that break. That was the first wave down. And then they bounced that around up back up intraday, and you came up to what was now probably was the right was the date that the T was, if you draw a symmetrical T out and you count the dates out, you get into that first recovery, which was basically a 50% recovery in the market averages, and that's the T's top. Then you fell down, and then this is also one of those bounces, like the ball that bounces down the stairs. It gets a sharp rebound, but it doesn't last very long, and then it rolls over. So I'm showing here is going to roll over. Well, the question is, how do you know when it stops making a bounce and it's starting to make more or less a U-turn to come back up? And the answer is you measure the slope of the advanced decline line with the advanced decline oscillator. It has nothing to do with the volume oscillator, because the advanced decline T is still the strongest long-range T. It never gets too, they usually don't get too long range in time. And it's disappointing that there's an error on this, but that's the way it goes. So the main argument you have is why you have to come down here is this advanced decline T, which is very large relative to what the short-range Ts are, which we're going to talk about later on, is not going to allow the advanced decline line to come up. I mean, it's been pulling it up, trying to pull it up, and it did have corrections on the way. And it's true that as it falls away, it's going to have an upside correction someplace. But this is too soon. It's still exerting, the T has passed, but it still is exerting a downside force. And you have to get away from the top by a certain amount. And if you look from the A top, it took you like a couple of months to get away from the each of those time divisions is a month, so it looks like it's about two and a half months. So you have to get further away from a peak in time before you can get yourself to turn up and try to get a recovery back up to the green line or not. And the only way that in T theory, I did these studies for 20 years and I haven't published someplace, is to measure the slope of the advanced decline line using the advanced decline oscillator, and then look for a positive divergence between the market average. You want the market averages to make, you want looking for a double bottom where the market averages make at least a token new low on the second bottom, but the advanced decline oscillator makes a higher bottom than the first bottom. So you have the oscillator turning, starting to turn up on a bottoms measurement basis, and while the market is turning down. It looks bad, but the divergence is positive, and that's the one where you get the turn and you stop the bouncing ball business for a while, and you can actually get it to turn up in a sustainable rally. The other way to do that is to go in and look at the short range T's, but you always get into the problem of the of the short-range T's are extremely complicated. That's done with the volume oscillator, okay? You got to be careful when you're playing around that game. That's where you get a lot of wrong-way Corrigans, and so we'll just close this topic out and say that top that you got there at the right end of that purple T there is not going to let you get away with anything on the upside here. And then we have to turn to the other chart to explain how we're going to form that new decline. But basically, it's the advanced decline T that's going to try and kill the market off, and the volume oscillator is just going to come up with some screwball rules to allow you to do it, and then eventually to confirm where you might or might not have a bottom pattern, because it has to fit in the whatever the kind of T's we got. So they'll shape the whole thing. So that's it for this part. One thing that, you know, you're supposed to, if you split the B and C bottom, you're supposed to get a top in late August. Remember that, because I'm going to talk about that on the next issue. But if you put the center post of the T over to C, you remember, and you draw a big T, that becomes a major bottom. That's in mid-December of next year, and that's the null echo. Well, there's also a small null echo that's running loose with a bottom in roughly in the, you know, a couple weeks into June. You start looking for a bottom a couple weeks into June, and I believe that null echo hint that you should look for it a couple weeks into June is this third wave down, because this questions have come up about that one. So that the third wave is basically going to the null echo on a shorter time scale. I have serious reservations as to whether that, I don't have a reservation that something will happen on the upside in late August. I just don't think it's very good. Or it might not be very good, because the problem is, if you've seen the top of the advanced decline line, it's hard to get people to get involved in the stock market again in the present environment, I would say. It's just difficult to do it. And part of that is that even though the advanced decline line went up, all you're seeing is a sideways distribution pattern looking back over for the 5 months of the year, and that's a toppy phase. And in the toppy phase, the statistics I counted on the gold and bonds doing well, and the low quality, high quality bonds, and the gold doing well, and the large growth companies, and the not doing well, which is a sign of the second double dip coming, and then finding out the junk bonds or the high yield bonds are weakening is a fear of credit problems. Okay, so that we've seen that in a 5 month trend. They're not going to change things too much faster now. I mean, once you've seen 5 months in a topping pattern, you probably see the first view of what's going to happen when you get into trouble. And when you've got that kind of a problem laid out technically, it's very, very difficult to go down here and then come back up and expect everybody's going to just dismiss this whole thing as we started a new bull market or something like that. Much harder to do it now, because the 40-year cycle is rolling over. Okay, that's it for this segment, and then we move on to the more complicated version of the volume oscillator.